Is it possible to shut our mind down and stop thinking entirely? Is that what meditation is supposed to do? Welcome to Mindfulness for Beginners. Hello, my friend. Hope you're happy. Hope you're peaceful. It's your old pal, Sean. And if you're enjoying the podcast, then I would invite you to become a supporter of the show on Patreon. The link is in the description. There's lots of exclusive content. Please do consider joining. It's super easy to sign up and you can find out what's happening with the future of the podcast. I'll be sharing some very exciting news there soon. You can also join the Facebook group linked to in the description and join our Sangha of listeners. There's hundreds of other people you can discuss the podcast with, share how your practice is going, or ask me a question. I'll see you on there. In 2014, Science Magazine published a study on how comfortable we are with our thoughts. In the study, 120 participants were asked to sit in a room and think for 15 minutes. The room was blank and completely empty apart from a chair and a device that gave you a mild but painful electric shock. At this point, like me, you might be wondering what motivates people to become scientists, but let's not get sidetracked. Half of the participants decided to give themselves an electric shock rather than sit alone with their thoughts for 15 minutes. Two-thirds of the men shocked themselves. Many of them did it multiple times because, of course they did, they're guys. One man electrocuted himself 190 times. Why on earth would people do that? Especially when the same 120 people surveyed before the experiment wrote that they would do almost anything to avoid pain. Why do we feel so uncomfortable with our own thoughts that we would take almost any action to stop thinking? Well, the answer is obvious to anyone who's ever had thoughts. They can be sad, they can be angry, they can be worrying, they can lead us down a dark path, they can flag things up that we need to do that we'd rather not think about right now. And all of us come up with ways to avoid thinking. I, like many other people, go onto YouTube and watch videos about pets and football and everything else. I'm actually grateful that YouTube has outlawed ad blockers because I'm spending much less time on it now that you have to sit through a 1 minute ad to watch a 30 second video. But we all have our own ways of avoiding being alone with our thoughts, even if it's not as extreme as electrocuting ourselves. A few episodes ago I talked about aversion in the context of procrastination, and it applies to our relationship with thoughts too. In the Buddhist tradition, aversion is one of the five hindrances to mindful meditation, and aversion to thought is very much a hindrance to our everyday peace as well. We need to have a relationship with our mind where we can communicate both ways comfortably, with ease. We can't shut off our brain because of difficult thoughts any more than we can cut off our leg because we twisted our ankle, and we wouldn't want to. Our mind is an incredible tool, and it evolved to protect and to advise us. But sometimes that advice is difficult to hear. The mind can be a whirlwind of ideas, emotions, and memories. The turbulence can make it challenging to sit quietly with our thoughts. So then, why does it matter so much to listen? Can't we just drown out our thoughts with a good TV show, a pina colada, and 190 electric shocks? Well, we could do that, but we'd be missing out on a lot. Thich Nhat Hanh had a saying, "No mud, no lotus." Meaning that through experiencing our difficult thoughts and emotions in a mindful, compassionate, curious way, we can liberate ourselves from suffering and cultivate happiness, peace, and freedom. Thay said that the art of happiness is also the art of suffering well. When we learn to acknowledge, embrace, and understand our suffering, we suffer much less. Not only that, but we can go further and transform our suffering into understanding, compassion, and joy for ourselves and others. What this implies is that when we break out the TV, the pina colada, or the Zapmaster 5000, we think we're reducing our suffering, but really what we're doing is increasing and extending it. If that's true, how can we use our practice to put Thay's teachings into action and free ourselves? The first step is to change how we look at thoughts. Rather than seeing them as positive or negative, see them for what they are. Thoughts are simply mental events passing through your awareness. They don't decide how we view ourselves. They don't decide how we act. Whatever the thought is, we can look at it through curious eyes without reacting or judging. It's our mind trying to tell us something, nothing more. It might be right, it might be wrong. Next is to realize when your mind is having lots of thoughts. Check in every so often to see what's going on in your head. Sometimes we don't even realize it's ticking over in the background when we're doing something else. So set a chime in your phone every hour this week to get you into the habit of checking in. And when your mind is busy with lots of thoughts, that's when it's most important to stop and pay attention. If your mind was a sky and your thoughts were clouds, what would the landscape look like? Let's check in on our state of mind right now. Let's just take a moment and just notice our state of mind. And the next step is to tune your awareness into the arising of thoughts. Try to become aware of when your mind is creating thoughts, when they enter your awareness. That's when you're most able to tend to them in a compassionate, mindful way. And let's go back to our sky visualization and see if we can do that. So don't worry if your mind goes quiet for a while. Your mind is a bully big mouth when you're trying to avoid what it's saying, but it can suddenly become as shy as a panda when you focus your awareness on it. So let's watch and see if we can observe a thought arising. And then finally, I would invite you to put a name to your thoughts. Ultimately, in mindfulness, we want to let go of labels, as signs can be an obstacle to experiencing the world as it truly is. But putting labels on thoughts helps us to tune into them. So you might describe a thought as a happy thought, or an anxious thought, or a planning thought. It helps to separate ourselves from the thought and prevents us from being swept away by them. Ultimately, our mind just wants to be listened to, and when we label a thought, our mind is much more likely to let go of it because it feels like it's been listened to, like when a drunk friend is trying to tell us how much they love us. Let's do that right now for a moment. Let's try and label the next thought that comes through. So the answer to the question, can I stop thinking, is no. And sorry, that was a bit of a clickbaity title, but it's important to acknowledge and answer that question because we've all felt sometimes when we're going through tough times that we'd rather just not think at all. But when we train ourselves to accept our thoughts and feelings, even when it's difficult, we put ourselves on the path of happiness. And one of the great things about having a good relationship with your mind is that we can then see when someone's struggling and we know how to help them take care of their thoughts compassionately too. So let's sit together for a few moments for a guided meditation on the mind. I'm going to start with three sounds of the bell and the usual settling in introduction. So we're going to start, as we always do, by focusing our beginner's mind on our posture. So I would invite you to imagine that you have a thread attached to the crown of your head, and it's gently pulling you upwards into an upright position, your spine like a stack of coins, your heart raised upwards and outwards, your hands comfortably in your lap, and just allowing a gentle smile to emerge on your face as we enjoy the stability of our posture. And then expanding that spotlight of awareness to your entire body, noticing where you feel warm or cold, noticing where you feel tense or relaxed, becoming aware of the sensations of the clothes against your skin, and the points of contact between your body and the chair and the floor. Shifting that spotlight of awareness to your thoughts and feelings. And as we go through the guided meditation, just noticing each thought as it arises. And that might be an anxious thought about tomorrow. It could be a happy thought about today, or a sad thought about yesterday. Just noticing each thought arising, putting a label to it, allowing it to leave, and gently and without judgment, bringing your attention back to your breath. And finally, focusing your awareness in the breath. Noticing that column of air between your nose and your diaphragm. Noticing how the air feels cooler on the way in, warmer on the way out. Breathing in. I know I am breathing in. Breathing out. I know I am breathing out. In, out. Breathing in, my breath grows deep. Breathing out, my breath goes slow. Deep, slow. Breathing in, I am aware of the state of my mind. Breathing out, I smile to the state of my mind. Aware of mind, smiling. Breathing in, I notice thoughts enter my awareness. Breathing out, I notice thoughts leave my awareness. Thoughts entering awareness, thoughts leaving awareness. Breathing in, I listen to my thoughts. Breathing out, I accept my thoughts without agreeing. Listening to thoughts, accepting thoughts. Breathing in, I allow my mind to settle. Breathing out, I calm my mind. Settling mind. Calming mind. Breathing in, I see that I am not my mind. Breathing out, I feel free. I am not my mind. I am free. Breathing in, I establish myself in the present moment. Breathing out, I realize it is a wonderful moment. Present moment, wonderful moment. And as we reach the end of the guided meditation, just taking a moment to notice any changes in your body, any areas of relaxation, any areas of discomfort, and just taking a moment to stretch those or massage, just whatever your body needs. Noticing any changes in your mind, and if you feel a sense of calm or peace, then I would invite you to carry that through the rest of your day. And finally, opening your eyes and returning your awareness to the room that you're in. And just before we finish, I have recorded a special guide to starting your day mindfully for the Wake Me Up podcast, which is hosted by my friend Tyler. It's a fantastic podcast, which I'd recommend. I've put the link to my guest host spot in the description, so please do check it out and check out Tyler's podcast. And may you be happy, may you be peaceful, and may you see yourself through the eyes of understanding and compassion. Slán a bhfuil, and I'll see you next time.